From the Almighty God be with each and every one of you. Let the amen flow. Is there really God? Church, if there is no God, we better pack out of this auditorium. But if indeed there is God, then may that God reveal himself into your life. God is God. Oh, God is God. Father, open the heavens. Oh, God. Oh, God. We bow. Let the whole world know that you are real, you are alive, and that we are your children. Let our testimonies overflow. Let us have no room for them. Can we lift our hands in total surrender to the majesty? Oh God, consume us. Holy Spirit, hit us hard. Change us. Consume us, oh God. Change our own internal atmospheres. And breathe freshness upon this congregation. Oh God. Oh God. We want that same spirit. Same. To consume us. Father, consume us today. Those listening to us, oh God, let your presence be felt. I proclaim grace upon this congregation. I proclaim liberty upon your life. May the Spirit of God overwhelm us. In Jesus' mighty name. Can we give a big shout of amen? Amen. We've been looking at tenets of the church rooted on the theme for the year, remain in Christ and in his basic message. We began by looking at the authenticity of the Bible, submitted to the house that the word of God is inspired, and therefore it had to be correctly divided. We also looked at the depraved nature of man and looked at what Christ had done for us. We also looked at our sonship and understood from the scriptures that we carry in us dual personalities. Our humanity with all its challenges and limitations. And then our spirituality or our divinity that carries the very nature of God. And we concluded at our last presentation by indicating that we needed faith to connect our spirituality to our humanity. And we gave the example of a woman who did not qualify in any way, but because of her faith, she was brought in. Today, may your faith bring you in. Let the amen flow. Amen. What we intend doing today is to build upon this. That will be the concluding presentation on the deep things of God. We explained that we have, by the Spirit of God, been translated from death. And so we are not under the control of death. Death has no right to determine when to call us. That our destinies are in the hand of the majesty. And as people share their testimonies of how God delivered them from various accidents, I speak over your life that you shall live. We also established the point that because we are not under death, in us is life. And so again, I speak into your life that wherever you go, you shall be the carrier of life. In other words, if something is dead and you take charge, there should be life. Be it marriage, be it business, be it a ministry, be it a church. And so I decree and I declare that there shall be life in this auditorium. We are carriers of life. And the reason is that in us is the resurrection power. And so if there are giftings, and today, if for some years you used to prophesy and it has ceased, it should come back to life. If you used to have visions, anything that is dead, as we conclude this presentation, let the resurrection power radiate into your bones and marrow and every aspect of your being. We must be sources of revival, sources that brings life. And I'm saying that these are all the results of our sonship. Being sons, we carry life. And we establish the point that because of that, as we walk in life, one day we shall be crowned with glory. And so whatever we are doing in recognition of the fact that there is eternity in our bones. Not only that, we've also been given authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions and all the powers of the enemy. And so, church, we are not among those that Satan plots against and succeeds. In fact, we are not candidates of satanic manipulation. In fact, I'm one of those who do not want to give Satan the pleasure of thinking that whatever I'm going through is because of him. In fact, it is not because of him. Whatever you are going through is not because of the devil. In fact, your destiny is in the hands of the majesty. And so anything that happens is because God has allowed it to come. And when God allows it, it will end well. For he knows the plans that he thinks towards us. In fact, the reason of being pregnated with power is not only for our protection, but rather for us to be able to use it to deliver others. And so may your grace go beyond your strength. These are the privileges of sons. In fact, I've come to understand that, thank God for our townful, because the more your enemies, the bigger your table. The more people fight against you, the bigger the grounds are being prepared for a table to be laid before them. And so do not dignify. I'm saying that these are the inheritance of the sons. And I'm here to announce to you that we have been redeemed from curses. We are a blessed people. Everything I touch must be blessed. And everything you touch must be blessed. I've remembered my former district. Do this. Abaminsano. You do know what that means? Abaminsano. Who understands that? How is that said in English? Abaminsano. May blessings Bawansano. I stand as a servant of the Most High, and I speak into your being that you shall be blessed. You are blessed, and you will be a blessing. You are not under any curse. And if for any reason your father suffered something, your mother went through something, you are you. Your genes are different. Your DNA is different. Today, I am here to proclaim blessings over somebody's life. As sons, you carry with you divine favor. In fact, the Lord will jealously guard your life and protect you. It said that it shall not be said in Israel that the fathers have eaten sour grapes and our teeth has been set on edge. And so those of you that have begun seeing symptoms of challenges in your family, symptoms of challenges, and you are getting scared, you are forbidden from being scared because you are a son. Now, you may say that, but me too, my father was a son, but you bear a different name. And it's important I establish this as I go on with what I'm going to share today. You see, Bible says, as a man thinketh, so he is. We carry in us a different genetic makeup. Birth by an oracle from above that has been spoken into your being before the foundation of this earth. Now, because we are sons, we have access to him. We have access to our father. We can go before him and tell him raw. You know, some of you, when you go to God, you hide. Why are you hiding? The man knows. So in fact, look into the face of somebody and say, don't hide. When you go before God, be raw. Don't polish it. Let's say you are at the office and they brought big bribe, big money, and you are so tempted. When you go before God, tell the Lord, God, this money, my eye read on it. Have mercy on me and deliver me. And when you see some girl and your heart is doing, when you go, don't go and say, I bind. Say, Father, my heart is fire for this girl. You know what I mean? Be raw before your father. And when at a point you need something and your faith cannot carry it, go to God and say, God, I want this thing, but my faith is troubling me. Help me. I'm saying that as sons, let's go raw before him. And if we would come boldly before the throne of grace, we would obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. Can somebody shout a big amen? Amen. And that is Hebrews 4:16. Ephesians 2:18 says, "For through him we both have access by one spirit to the Father." I am making this presentation to let you know, thank God for pastors, thank God for church leaders, thank God for prophets, thank God for anointed men and women of God, but thank God for you too. So we have boldness. Hebrews 10:19 says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus." It means that at every time, we should boldly come before the great King. And if for any reason your confidence is being shattered, today get your confidence back. Look, I'm saying that no matter what, go before your Father raw. For in us is the fullness of God. Amen. Now, all these things that I've been talking about and I've been sharing over these few days and weeks can be accessed when we exercise proper faith. When we exercise proper faith. And I want to share a few stories in here. What I want to do today is to share practical experiences and certain other people's experiences to practicalize whatever we are learning. And in Acts chapter 27, verse 21 to 25, Acts 27, 21 to 25, we read that Paul, on a particular voyage, came to a point where the ship in which they were traveling had a challenge. And the Bible says that the men could not eat. They were in trouble. But thank God there was a man of God in that boat. As I share this story with you, may you be like Paul in every boat of life. That once you are there, there shall be hope. Unless you are not there. Once you are there, if it is business, no matter what, once you come into that business because of you, because you are a son. Now, you should have listened to me. I pray that people will listen to you. And if they don't, eventually you tell them, "I told you so." You should have listened to me. May your lips be anointed with prophetic grace. Man, you should have listened to me and not have saved from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only the ship. "For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong, confidence at its best, and whom I serve, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you.' May because of you, protection be made available to all those around you." Yeah. Oh, let the army flow. Yeah. You see, today's style may be a bit different. So if you don't follow me, before you realize I've finished, let every declaration I make be fulfilled in your life. So don't be waiting for when is he starting. I've started. And I pray that every word that I decree, may it have an impact on your life. I'm saying that because of you, let everyone around you be safe. "Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God." And that is where the emphasis will be. Take heart, men, for I believe God, that it will be just as it was told. All the things that you've been told these few weeks, take heart. It will be as God has said it. Amen. Amen. And so, as we look at the deep things and we conclude by looking at how we can use faith to connect our spirituality, influence our humanity, we need to understand what is faith. Hebrews 11:1 reads, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for." Faith, from the NIV, is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Now, when we talk of hope, we are talking about something you want to see happen or a desire. So even hope itself is good. Hope talks about what you envisage, what you desire, what you want in the future. But you see, as I went through this, I realized that quite a number of us end at hope. Oh, I hope I'll get married this year. Oh, I hope I'll have this job. Oh, I hope this will happen. Oh, I hope that will happen. You see, but faith takes it beyond hope and brings it to confidence. The confidence that this thing that I hope for will surely come to pass. This thing that I am desiring will by all means take place. The confidence that enables you to leave it even though it has not yet happened. And then it says, assurance about what we do not see. You do not see it, but you are sure it exists. And it is important we establish this point, because if you look at everything around us, it's about a human personality, human ability, human weaknesses, human strength, human challenges, human frailties. And so if you are not careful, it becomes very difficult for you to cause that which is invisible to become visible. That which is unseen, to cause it to come to pass. For instance, if we've been talking about there is omnipotence in us, and then you look at your physical being, you look at your real self, and you realize that everything is going haywire. You pray, nothing happens. And so it will appear, therefore, that physically, nothing is happening. But you see, what faith does is that even before it happens, you walk with evidence. You are not seeing this handkerchief, but you go to court and you say, my Lord, or how do you say it? This is the handkerchief, but there's no handkerchief in your hand. These ones doesn't make sense. The things about faith normally will not make sense. But your capacity to see it, even though others may not be seeing it, and to say that even though you don't see it, even though I don't see it, I know it is there. It's what will make the difference. We do not see, but we know it is there. Nowadays, I've been a bit worried because I've seen that, and I believe that Satan has brought in his agents into the church as pastors, as church leaders, and are beginning to, in the name of faith, do certain things that are ending disastrous, that are becoming catastrophic, and has become the springboard for people to speak against the exercise of faith. When people have been asked to chew snakes, when these things happen, and then people die and certain things happen, we hear stories of people who bury themselves to rise again and never came back, died. So when you hear these stories and you are told that they exercise faith and it didn't work, it scares you. And so you cannot be daring enough. And let me tell you something, until you are daring, you should not expect supernatural manifestations. If you are not afraid to stretch your faith beyond the limits of human capacity, then forget it. If your faith does not take you beyond what your human ability can achieve, then you don't even need faith or God. But when you come to the point where it takes something beyond human strength, then faith comes into being. And I'm saying that the things about our spirituality, the things that are not seen, our invisibility, our eternity, our omnipotence, our omnipresence, our capacity to pull things which are in the spirit realms to manifest in our physical body must come with faith, which has to do with the point that even though I am hoping that this thing will happen, but I live my life in confidence. And sometimes, jokingly, I said, okay, you hope to be pregnant. That is your hope. Now, faith takes it beyond, I hope to be pregnant, to bring it time-bound with confidence that I'll be pregnant this year. And if I'll be pregnant this year, then it means that I have to start preparing to get my feeding bottle, whatever. And then even if you like, you can look for a cup. And then when you go home, when you see your husband, you tell him, what is wrong with you? Then you say, you don't know what is happening. Then when you turn a little, then you say, I hope you understand what is poor. And then you change your walking and then you begin to walk like this. Are you mad? I am not mad. But that which is not seen, I am bringing it into being. confidence, that assurance that this thing will happen. I'm saying that to experience the deep things of God, you must stretch your faith on the basis of God's word. So the deceptions, the stories that we are hearing, if we are not careful, will kill our faith. But whose report shall we believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Sometimes people, not by demonic influences, but out of fame, out of desire to attain certain glory, undertake certain actions. And then again, it ends in a very disastrous way. And then it becomes a challenge. It becomes a byword. Sometimes when you want to exercise faith, people tell you, this is what this guy did, and he died. This is what this guy did, and he lost it. This is what this guy did. And so it becomes a barrier to our faith. Today, if there's any report that is crushing our faith, may grace crush it. Amen. We come to that point where we have that confidence that I hope this year this will happen. And no matter what happens, faith will take you there. Nothing is impossible for them who believe. You see, when you go through scripture, it's amazing how sometimes unbelievers or non-disciples are able to attain certain benefits that comes with faith when believers do not get it. They have so much hope, they have so much confidence, and pursue it. And we have the story of the woman I shared the last time. She was a Canaanite. She did not qualify. But you see, she had faith. I will maybe deal with that one later on. But just to establish the point that she was not part of it, but she was able to access the blessings of something that did not belong to her. At the same time, we also know of a soldier who told Jesus that you don't even need to come home. You don't need to. Just speak the word. And that I, as a soldier, have authority. I command this guy to sit down and he says, come, and the person comes. So speak the word. What a faith. The man was so confident in Christ that once God speaks it, he can go and sleep. I'm saying that whatever word of God has come to you, may God give you the soldier's faith. Because if you have faith, nothing can stop you. You become unstoppable. Whereas unbelievers were exercising faith, Bible says that when the apostles met and somebody had brought a child that was sick, they spent the whole day without able to cast it out. Jesus comes in, and then the parent complained that, sir, have mercy on me. I brought my child to your disciples and they couldn't cast it out. And Jesus said, oh, faithless generation. So you see, whilst apostles, disciples are losing out on faith, unbelievers are gaining on faith. May God change your story. Amen. The point I want to submit is that it is very easy to stay in the house and be an unbelieving believer. Especially you prayed one and it didn't work, and it becomes a horrible foundation for others not to come in. So what then is the focus of this faith? You see, Bible says that even demons believe there is God and they shudder. So it is not enough to believe there is God. No, that does not take you extra mile. Because even unbelievers, every religion believes there is God. In fact, gradually even atheists are believing there is God. So the issue is not really about whether there is God or there's no God. But of course, in excess of faith, you need to believe there is God. But the Bible says that it is impossible to please God where there's no faith. And it is right, it is important that he that comes to God must believe two things. Must believe that he is, and he is the rewarder. And that is where we have the challenge. We believe God is a healer. We believe God delivers. We believe God is mighty. We believe God created everything. We believe that God speaks and the ocean parts. We do not have a problem believing that. But the challenge is whether we that are seeking him, he will reward us. As a child of God, as a son of God, will God reward me? As you listen to me today, may God reward you. When you go before God, when you put your request before God, may you believe that even if it didn't work for others, it will work for me. I am re-emphasizing this point because if you are not careful, certain things will happen and it will kill your faith. And so we must have faith in God for who he says he is. If God says he's powerful, let's take him as his word. He says that he's with us. Let's take it, believe it, whether you see God with you or not. That is why I said that faith is the evidence of that which you do not see. So even though as I stand here, I may not see God with me, but I have no doubt that God is with me. And if you fire at me, I have no doubt that the fire will first hit God. Because my life is in Christ. And if your fire has the audacity and the impudence to penetrate God, then go ahead. These are the confidence you must have. Look into the face of somebody and say, my friend, Jai Echinjeno. We must believe that God is and he is with us. All the things God has said, we ought to believe. We must believe that he's capable of doing what he says he will do. And once God says he will do it, church, we better believe that he's going to do it. We better believe that he's going to do it. You must believe that he's our help. You must believe that, yes, that interview that you are going, other people are good. Other people qualify. But there is a mighty hand that is out there to help you. We must consciously, at the back of our mind, as you walk, you must, I don't know how to explain it, but at the back of your mind, you must know that there's a mighty hand behind you. And our Nigerian brothers will sing, I have a very big God, though. He's always by my side. A very big God, though. By my side, by my side. I have a very big God, though. He's always by my side. Hey, a very big God, though. And so like Paul, you'll be able to say that I know my God who myself has spoken to me. And it will be done as he has said it. So you sit before the panel as they interview you. At the back of your mind, you know that there's a mighty hand that would help you. May this hand be strong upon your life. I'm saying that we must believe these things. We must believe that God is our help, and he will keep his promise. He will keep his faithfulness. In fact, God is faithful. He's full of faith. And if only we will believe him, believe what he said, it will be done in our lives. Now remember, he says all things are possible for him that believes. It means that you must believe. Even if you've been an old member, you've been born into the church, if at a point you refuse to believe, you will not get it. It doesn't matter how long you have prayed. And I recall somebody heard about faith, just as I'm speaking. He said, Bible says that if you believe, you will speak to mountains, and the mountains will go. I believe you've heard a story. So this woman, that night, never slept. Because there was a mountain at the back of her house. So she said, the Bible says, you speak to mountains and the mountains will move. So this woman, the whole night, Father, according to your word, I speak to this mountain to move. In Jesus, the mountain move, mountain move, mountain move. He prayed all night. The following day, he quickly got up to find out if the mountain had moved because God said it. When he went there, the mountain was there. Then said, ah, manka. Manka say enkoda. So he spent all night praying, but at the back of her heart, at the enko. In other words, it will not move. It will not go. And that is how sometimes we pray. That is how, and that's why I'm saying that for faith to work, there should be total confidence that what you are hoping for will come to pass no matter what. And you are prepared to put your life on the line for what you believe. If you are not ready to to stretch your faith to that level, then you will get normal droplets from God. But if you want to get extraordinary steps, you may have to take extraordinary steps in the exercise of your faith. I'm saying that in faith, not just believing in God, but believing in what he said. And then critically, also believing in who Jesus is. And that is what brings the difference.
The fire is burning in my soul.